Let's open up our Bibles. So we're in Exodus chapter 32. And in Exodus chapter 32, verse 31 and 32, it says this. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." Let us just begin to unpack that piece of scripture, because again, I just was reading and all of a sudden God just got my attention and I was like, wow. And I love Moses here, how he just was like, we've sinned and we need to ask for forgiveness. What great leadership he committed there. So the first thing we're going to look at is, what is this great sin that they committed? What had they done? So let's just flip to the very beginning of verse 32. So Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us God, so we will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." You know, where is Moses? He's gone up the mountain to hear from the Lord. And, you know, days and, you know, weeks go by and they say, "We're tired of waiting around. We want to worship something." And I think during this restriction time, I don't know where you're at personally, how you feel about everything. There's many camps of how we would respond. But like, it's almost been a year. Like, are we tired? Is there part of us that's kind of tired? I'm like, ooh, I'm tired of staring at this camera. You know, I'm tired of being at home. I'm tired of not gathering. I'm tired of wearing a mask. Is there a season that we are currently in where we are tired of restrictions? Let's just jump down a couple of verses, jumping into verse 3. "So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then he said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.'" It's going to be very important in just a moment to remember who fashioned that god, that golden calf with a tool, because we're going to shed some more light on that in just a second. But it also says, Aaron fashioned them with gold from their earrings. So Aaron said, "Okay, take off all of your earrings, and we'll melt that down, and we'll fashion something." Now, at that time in history, earrings were very valuable to the people. So they said, "Get your most valuable possessions. We'll melt them down, and we'll make something of it." I just find it very strange if you think about it. All those people, you know, hundreds of thousands, you know, potentially a million people who had seen everything that they had come through and brought through the sea, that they would just all of a sudden turn so quickly to some foreign god in a sense. And we'd pick up a story that would shed light on it if we look into the book of Psalms. Just stay in Exodus, though. We're going to come right back there. But in Psalm 106, verse 19, it says this. "At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glory for an image of a bull who eats grass." They exchanged their relationship with the Lord for something that was just made of metal. Instead of filling themselves with the Lord, they try to fill themselves with something. And I love scripture. It's just hilarious to me. That ate grass. So instead of filling yourself with the Lord, instead of filling yourself with God's presence, with his word, with a close relationship, they filled themselves full of something that just would only, you know, could only eat grass. Like, isn't that hilarious? I love how that's written. "Had they not just the other day, in this very place, heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them?" Again, brought them out of Egypt through the sea, and the voice of the Lord is speaking to them, but so easily they turn aside. Exodus chapter 19. Let's just skip back a few. We're going to stay in Exodus 32 a lot, but let's just go back to Exodus 19, verse 16 and 18. "On the morning of the third day, there was a thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him." The people were standing there, and the voice of God answered Moses. They heard the voice of God. We would see later that they were given the Ten Commandments. But what is so interesting to me, and I love this idea, this is super important to understand, is it a plain indication that the law those Ten Commandments had no more, wasn't able to sanctify or to justify the people. Let me just explain that a bit deeper here. The Ten Commandments and the knowledge of sin, a rule book, did not cure them of their disobedience and their sin, did it? Let me explain that just a step further, because this is a very important thought here. In 1 Thessalonians, let's jump into the New Testament, and we'll see a thought here about what they were doing here. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, says, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." You see here, it says that the presentation of the Lord's message, the gospel, turned people from idols. The love of God that is for us. They didn't turn because they beat them over the head with the Ten Commandments. Yes, we need to have rules. Yes, we need to play by them. Yes, we need to be obedient to them. But people will turn to God because of God's glorious message. Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross for sinners. When we hear that kind of message, people will turn from their idols. They won't turn because we smash the Ten Commandments over their heads. Because we see clearly, I mean, you and I are not there. Have you heard the voice of the Lord? I mean, there's a few of us that have, but there's a mountain that's speaking the voice of the Lord. The people are standing there listening. They had just come through all of that, you know, slavery and through the Red Sea and all of this stuff. They had physically seen with their eyes. They hear the voice of the Lord and they still turn their backs away. So is commandments going to turn people to God? Or is it going to be God's glorious message of hope? Well, we need hope right now, don't we? We need God's presence in our life more than ever before. Have laws and commandments ever fixed anything? You know, well, we need another law or another idea to stop things from happening. The more laws we have, the better we'll be off. Come on, like, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's have some fun here. Let's go back to Exodus, sorry. Exodus chapter 20. So we're just reading a little bit further. Moses comes down off the mountain, you know, he had spent time with the Lord and the people were just, you know, messing around. And remember what the Israelites had just seen again, what they had just heard, what they had committed to. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 and 19. "When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die.'" They didn't want to be in God's presence. They said, "Moses, you do the talking and we'll listen though. See that? Speak to us and we'll listen," they say. The people heard the voice and they said they'd listen. Watch what it says in the very next verse, verse 20 of Exodus 20. "Moses said to the people, 'Don't be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you, to keep you from sinning.'" You see here, they said, "We'll do whatever you say." And God is saying, "Just listen to my voice, and you'll be kept from sinning." Even though they saw all this and heard all this, they still turned away and they began sinning. Moses came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he finds the Israelites doing this. Moses comes down after that season, you know, just basking in God's presence. He's got a message for the people. And he catches them doing this. Let's go back to Exodus 32. This is where we're going to spend, again, a lot of our time. Exodus 32, verse 19. "When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain," just destroying the Ten Commandments, "as he saw what the people were doing." He saw those people that had just committed to them. "Whatever you say, Moses, we'll listen to. Whatever you want us to do, we will obey. Keep us from sinning." So Moses, you know, he's got his hands free now. He's just smashed the Ten Commandments. He goes over in verse 20, and he took the calf that they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattering it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. This past week, as Pastor Andrew and I, we were just wrestling. I was sharing with him what I was going to speak on. He was saying that, you know, in the sense, which I love, they smash it to powder, and then Moses throws it in the water and says, look, you guys drink that up. Because they were trying to fill themselves with this idea of the golden calf. They were trying to fill themselves with this, you know, ungodly idol. And God says, well, if you want to do that, then you might as well just fill yourselves with it. You just drink it right up, you know, put it inside your belly. Because you're not filling yourself up with my presence. You're afraid to come near me. You're afraid to listen to what I'm trying to command you. They completely were ignoring what God had just said to them as well. If we look in Exodus chapter 20, we remember we heard the voice of the Lord come, and the voice of the Lord was saying to them, and he gives them the Ten Commandments. We know in verse 4, we see this of Exodus 20. This commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. They had heard that. They read that. They knew that. And still they turned away. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing love. Isn't this just wonderful, that second thought here? Yes, we will be punished for our, you know, unrighteousness and our ungodliness, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. That's the kind of God that we serve. You know, I don't know what your earthly father was like or your parental legal guardian was like. We look to, you know, when we mess up and we get, you know, we get punished and, you know, we get in trouble and we go to the principal's office or the pastor's office. And God is just like, yes, you're going to have to go through that, but I love you. Oh, I love you. If you would just turn to me, you would feel that and you would see that. Even if we don't make idols, we're often guilty of trying to make God in our own image, molding him to fit our expectations, our desires, and circumstances. I think we're all guilty of that in some capacity. That we wouldn't say that we have an idol on the shelf in our house above the mantle of the fireplace, but there's ways. We each have our own way of learning. We each have our own way of seeing things. We each have our own history that we've kind of walked through, that we've been handed generationally. And we form and fashion God to, you know, a tailored God. Like, if you were to ask each one of us, I guarantee there'd be all kinds of ideas. What is your God like? What does he look like? How does he respond? How do you hear God? We'd all kind of have our own kind of image of God. And I wonder if it's biblical. I wonder if it's based on sound doctrine. Because that's a challenge for you and I. We could look at these Israelites and say, you guys are a bunch of boneheads. Like, what are you guys turning to these crazy idols? But in today's world, we're very similar. When we do this, we end up worshiping ourselves rather than the God who created us. We end up worshiping this idea that God is like this. And we don't worship a God that is biblically sound. Oh, that's a great, great challenge. As I was throwing the e-brake on this piece of scripture, as I said, in my quiet time, this is really what I was resonating with. Have we formed a God that's not the correct God? And are we going to worship the true God, the living God, as we just read about? Do we need to destroy again this idol? Because we need to serve a powerful God, a God that's in complete control, that's delivered us from bondage and sin. If we just feel like, well, we're stuck in our bondage and sin, we're not actually worshiping the right God, because God will set us free of those things. Let us go on a bit further in verse 21 of Exodus 32. He said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that you led them into such a great sin? Remember at the very beginning, I said, let's unpack what this great sin was. Moses comes down, sees his brother Aaron. His brother! Do you understand that? This is the same Aaron that spoke to Pharaoh because Moses was stuttering. Aaron, who saw with his own eyes the plagues that happened, that they were able to do with the staff and the parting of the sea. He knew all these things were possible through the Lord, not some idol. Why did he just quickly turn and listen to the people and fashion something? And so as he's challenged by that, Moses says, Aaron, what are you doing? I left you in charge. Listen to Aaron's response. Verse 22 of Exodus 32. Don't be angry, my Lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire. Listen to the words here. And out came this calf. You know, like, oh, I don't know what happened. It just all of a sudden happened. And you remember when we read, I said, don't forget who fashioned this calf and tailored it with a tool. He's very intentional about that to make it. Your calf doesn't, you just melt gold and all of a sudden poof, there's something there. Like, this isn't a magic show. Like, Aaron was very intentional about doing that. And he just begins to deceive himself and try and lie, really, to Moses and say, I don't know what happened. Like, do we do that with God sometimes? You know, when we do something wrong, well, you know, this person led me into that. Or it was the enemy. The enemy really just tempted me, and I couldn't help myself. Is it like that? Do we deceive ourselves, and really, do we deceive and lie to God? Because I think we need to, as individuals, as a church, we need to come to reality, come to grips that we need to ask for forgiveness of our sin. We sin all the time. You know, great or small, it doesn't matter. There's no measuring rod. Compared to a perfect and holy God, we fall short. And we fool ourselves if we don't think we need to ask for forgiveness at times. So let's go on and look at the difference between Moses and Aaron. We're going to see here how they respond so differently. So Aaron, again, was pointing his finger and blaming the people. Look at all these people. They made me make this calf. Listen to how Moses speaks of the people to God. We see the difference here about Aaron. He's just like, I don't know what to do. And Moses, listen to his heart here. Exodus chapter 32, again, verse 31 and 32. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. Watch how he goes on. It's not even just, oh, please forgive their sin. Watch what he owns here. But if not, then blot me out of the book you've written. What wonderful leadership. God, if you're not willing to forgive them, then put it on me. Isn't that just a wonderful example of Jesus Christ? Again, we see a type and a shadow of Moses here. He hits a home run in a sense here. So both Moses and Aaron, even though that Moses had the right heart here, they both didn't enter the promised land because they were disobedient. Let me show you quickly here in Numbers. This is going to be wonderful. It actually doesn't turn up wonderful, but it's an interesting story. Numbers. We don't want to be in the New Testament yet. Romans. Oh, I just said it again. Numbers. Numbers 20, verse 8. Take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock. Speak to it before their eyes, and it will pour out water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. The Lord asked Moses to speak to the rock. Get their focus off of the staff and onto the spoken word of God, the voice of God to listen to him. Continue in that same story in verse 9. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels. Must we bring you water out of the rock? To this very point, he did everything God commanded. Then he does something incorrect here. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice. He honked and beat on that rock. Water gushed out in the community and their livestock drank. Instead of speaking to the rock, he beats it almost out of frustration. Listen to the Lord's response to their disobedience. This is so key. We often read this and sometimes we forget that. We say, oh, they're just disobedient. Oh my gosh, I've sinned. What am I going to do? Listen to what Moses or what God says to them. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me, in verse 12, enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I have given them. Moses and Aaron did not obey. And here we see the Lord speak to them, you will not lead the people into the promised land. Oh, Lord, help us to not be like that, so that as people are hungry for God, that we would point them in the right direction. We wouldn't have our own agenda, our own ideas, that we would be obedient to the T of what God wants us to be and what wants us to do, so we could lead people to him. Let us see how God responds to their disobedience by making an idol and by Moses and Aaron's disobedience. So we're going to see here in verse 34. So Exodus 32, verse 34. Now go lead the people to the place I have spoken of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. So in their disobedience, you know, they're not listening. They're making idols. Aaron's blaming all kinds of different people. We see here God says, I will send my angel to guide you. And we just read they were completely disobedient. They made a golden calf. They broke one of the Ten Commandments, and God says, I'll send an angel with you. That just, it doesn't make sense to me. How does that go together? I feel like God says he'll punish you, but I'm with you. I love you. I will direct you. God sends his angel with them. Let's continue to unpack that thought in Exodus. Let's just go back for a moment. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your rebellion. Since my name is in him, if you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those that oppose you. God sends an angel ahead of them to guard them, even in their disobedience. We're going to find a very similar thought in the New Testament. This is so key here. You know, that's nice for them back in the Old Testament. What about us in the New Testament here? We see Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we see here in the Old Testament, when God was around, he wanted to walk and talk with his people. And he said, I'll send an angel ahead of you. I'll be with you. We see in the New Testament, Jesus says, I will be with you always. I am with you, not just when you're obedient, but I'll be with you always. We see that time and time and again. Even when we're in the wilderness, even though sometimes we're disobedient, God is still with us. If we were to look at this idea a step further, let's go back to Exodus. Wonderful time in there. Great book. Still getting through it. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 37. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all their travels, whether obedient or disobedient, the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. Let's continue to read in verse 38. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all of their travels, for crying out loud. We see that time and time again, God is always with us. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to follow, as they did, the cloud and the fire and the angel. You know, for us today, it looks like, you know, we follow his word. We follow his presence. We follow his still small voice. We follow the Holy Spirit. We just follow. We just want to be obedient. We want to hear what he has to say. I think it's very clear that he always, what he says here. I'm not saying or suggesting, let's not blow this out of tangent, like, oh, I can just go around and do whatever I want and, you know, be completely disobedient, and God will just be with me. It'll be fantastic. Because if we look at the Israelites' history, we'd see that there was times they were super obedient and there was times they were disobedient. Think about your life. There are times, if we looked at, you know, your whole lifespan, there are times when you've been obedient. And there's been times when you've been completely disobedient. And God's been with you the whole time. Let's work on times that we would be more obedient than times when we're disobedient. That's really the challenge. That's what we're trying to accomplish. That's really the point of the message. When the people heard from the Lord, they should have been preparing themselves for what was next. You see, they had come out, they were waiting. Moses went up on the mountain. They were hearing, waiting for Moses to come back with a word from the Lord. As they waited, they got distracted. As they waited, they turned to idols. As you and I are waiting for the Lord to speak, as you and I are waiting for the next assignment, let's be obedient in that. Let's not get distracted. Let's not turn to other things. Let's not give up hope. Let's continue to press on. And as we're doing that, and we think, oh my word, this country. Oh my word, the world's going crazy. Oh, look at all these laws they're putting into place. All these things that are so ungodly. They're so disobedient to the word of God. Yeah, we could talk about that, and yes, we should wrestle through that, but we should be going on behalf of the people like Moses to God, saying, God, I'm disobedient. Would you help me? God, this community is disobedient and wicked. Would you help us? God, our country, our world is disobedient. Would you help them in Jesus' name? Instead of just like, well, we'll just, I don't know, it's all going bad. I'm just going to hunker down and hopefully I don't get affected by it. Instead of pressing in, let's press in to the Lord. Let's go after what he wants to do and say through each one of us. Oh, such good news. I love this message. Exodus, let's finish it off. Verse 32. Let's remind ourselves where we came from so we don't lose focus. I was getting all excited there, right? Exodus 32, verse 31. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. So they made themselves gods of gold. But now, please, God, please forgive their sin. And if not, then blot me out of your book that you have written. Let's just skip ahead a little bit here. Moses is going to repent again. He's got the new stone tablets. He's got the commandments, the Ten Commandments, a second time. He goes to the Lord and it says this in verse 5. Exodus 34, verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. As he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Watch what it goes on to say in verse 8. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, although this is a stiff-necked country, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Oh, I just pray that that would be the resonating sound of our voice and our hearts, that we would want to press in and thank God. Oh, God, we'd want to get on our knees and we want to worship God. And in that presence and in those moments, we would say, oh, please forgive us of all of our sins. Forgive all of those that have sinned against you in Jesus' name. That's good Christian leadership. That's being a good Christian as we follow God. I pray you'd say amen to that in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, as we looked at your word today, Lord, we realize that you are perfect and holy and you've got a wonderful plan. And God, we want to be obedient, especially in the season where we're restricted. We feel like we're missing. There's a big hole that we can't gather together. But I pray in light of that, that you would grow us up and mature us in Jesus' name. We'd get our eyes off of ourselves and we'd get our eyes on you and what you're saying and doing. God, we desperately need help. We desperately need forgiveness for all of our sins. God, on behalf of our community and our country, we just ask you to forgive us in Jesus' name. Would you just send your blessing as you did? You sent out your angel. You traveled with them. God, would you be with us especially now in these times in Jesus' name? Oh, what a wonderful time together. If you have any questions about today's message, I want to remind you that on Wednesdays, Pastor Andrew and I, we sit down and we just discuss the sermon. So if you wanted to, you know, give us an email or make a comment here, we'd love to answer some of those questions. If you found us on Facebook or on YouTube or on our social media, love you guys so much. We look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.